Swell, you're doing fine this morning. In Houston, Texas, it is a fairly cool day, a little unseasonably cool, but it feels good. Feels good. And so I don't know where you are watching from this morning, whether it's whatever state, whatever country, whatever city you're in, but welcome. Welcome to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ worship service. It is virtual, but it is physical. This is real. You're not looking at fantasy. We are here. It's not a cartoon. We're here to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And hopefully you're in the spirit. As John, we've been in the book of Revelation the past few weeks, and John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And this is the Lord's day. All the days of the Lord. But it seems that God has set aside a day that we are to set aside for him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And so we don't count it robbery to be here. There's no other place, hopefully there's no other place you want to be but then worshiping the Lord. We know some of you like to fish, but this is not fishing time. This is worshiping time. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you like to golf and get in your gardens, and that's okay. It's okay to have those hobbies, but we ought to be willing to set aside some time for the Creator, right?
Amen.
And hopefully you're willing to do that this morning. Hopefully you got your coffee or you are sitting up, you got your children. And if you have children and they're old enough to understand, wake the children up. Amen. Wake the kids up and tell them, look, it's time to worship this morning. Amen. Yeah, wake them up. If they watching a cartoon, they can watch worship service this morning. We have been studying, a lot going on. I won't say anything about that right now, but we've been studying a series of lessons we've entitled The Seven Churches. And I certainly hope that you've had a chance to start reading in the book of Revelation. I know a lot of us stay away from the book of Revelations. There are a lot of phrases and statements and sayings in Revelations that we call mysterious, but it's to be understood. It was written for us, and we've been entitled this to seven churches. We're on the fifth church. And just for time's sake, not to have to review everything, this letter was written. Listen to Revelations 1:10. 1:10, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, the Apostle John said, through the Holy Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write on a scroll what you see, listen, and send it to the seven churches. And we ask the Bible school teachers, and those of you that are watching, go ahead and memorize these seven churches, because it's really written to all churches. God uses this complete number, seven. There are 7 days in a week. He created the world in 6 days, according to Genesis chapter 1, and he rested on the seventh day. So this church, this letter is written to the seventh church, but it's written to all the churches of the saints, the churches of God. And he names them. We've covered Ephesus and Smyrna, and last week we talked about Pergamon, and today we are on Thyatira. Thyatira, and so we want us Bible school teachers to go ahead and try to memorize these. Let your kids they memorize everything else. They memorize rap songs and lyrics that we can't even understand. So tell me they can't memorize. Got the ABCs memorized, right? My grandkids now they're giving numbers in Spanish, Brother Otis, and I walk in the house, and Daddy, Big Daddy, they start talking Spanish to me. I said, where do you get that from? Well, so tell me you can't memorize it. So what's the city today? What's the church today? Thyatira. And these letters were to be read. The letter was read to be read in all the churches. So all the churches would get all of this information. And just for time's sake, I'm just diving right into where we are today. Each one of the letters has a phrase, he that hath the ear to hear, let him hear. Will you hear this today? We'll see. Revelations 2:18, and to the angel of the church. And a lot of we talked about it. I want to bring it back up, but it's wonderful to know that God has an angel watching over his church. And I certainly hope we got a guardian angel that's watching over us. An angel. Now, the angel won't interfere in God's business. Oh, but he keeps an eye on what's going on. Oh, that mercy. Oh, it says, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira. We don't want to run the angel off. Because when the angel is gone, we don't want God to remove his candlestick from the church. Because when the candlestick is removed, the church no longer is the church. Amen. 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 But one good thing about it, though, when you read these, see, some of us, we want to, you know, we talk about this church and that church, what that church is doing and what that, we need to be taking care of what's going on in this church. Amen. First of all, and then we're not the ones that say the church is not the church. All of these churches had a few issues going on in them. But thank God we serve a God who's long-suffering, who's kind, who suffers some things to be so. But it seems at some point even God get tired of a church's foolishness. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he says to the angel of the church of Thyatira, right now, go ahead. Everything's coming to my mind. Thyatira, it's not the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. Some of you that know your Bibles in the book of Acts chapter 16, there was a woman who was converted. And you know the woman named Lydia, the seller of purple. Yeah, listen to Acts 16:14. A woman named Lydia was listening. She was a seller of purple fabrics from the city of Thyatira. See, this is not fantasy. And I mentioned some of these details, especially for those who would doubt the Bible and the validity of the Bible. And I don't think I'm talking about all the millennials, who have this pluralistic thinking and everything is all right. But I am speaking to those who would cast doubt on the Word of God. This is a real city. Brother, show the map of all the cities if you can. Junior, can you pull up the map? I put this map up on the wall so you can see this. These are real places. The Asia Minor is present day Turkey today. Turkey is still around. These cities existed then, and some of them exist right now. And this is not cartoons. This is the real world. Lydia was a seller of purple. Thyatira was a commerce city which was a trade route, a lot of things going on, and she was not a member of the Lord's church, but she heard the gospel. She heard the gospel, and she was, I hope somebody today will hear this gospel and want to be a member of God's church. It says, and she was listen, She was selling fabrics, and she was a worshiper of God, but she hadn't totally obeyed the full gospel. As many people today are religious, love God, talk about God, but the question is, have you obeyed God? Well, how do you know that, Brother Gary? Says the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul, and now when she and her household had been baptized, do you watch the slides before? Before a worship service, the slides that come on, isn't that beautiful? They put everything. They put up our new members, those who place membership are those who are members of the Church of Christ. They maybe moved to the city. Now they want to find a church home, which we admonish anybody to not stay out there on your own and say, look, I'm going to do this on my own. That's not the way God designed it. And then there are those who've been baptized into Jesus Christ. She was a worshiper, a religious woman. But she wasn't saved according to some. I'm saved. You sure? Have you obeyed the gospel? I'm going to extend the invitation right at the end. Give you an opportunity to be saved and to be washed in water for the remission of your sins. Lydia was from the city of Thyatira, and she was baptized. She, now just notice this, she and her household. Now, I don't know if she was married or whatever, but I do know this. She was well off. She had some money, had some folk in the house. And when she was, and see, some of us, our house will not be saved until you get baptized. There are some of us that just have more influence than others. People, some of your kids, your cousins, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, if Jamarge says is right is right. And you say, it might. Now, you might say, well, don't put that on me. A lot of it is because of the way we live, the example that we've set. We do people right, and people trust us. And when we have that kind of influence, we need to use it for God. Oh, that makes sense. Everybody, I got baptized. My wife, Sister KB, got baptized. All of my daughters are baptized. They're old enough to understand. I tried to teach them because not only do I want to get to heaven, I want my whole house to get to heaven. Amen. I don't want nobody to be lost in my house. And when they're my children, they're coming with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not driving the church. You think I'm going to have some children in my house, eating my food, spending my money? They coming with me. Now, when they get grown, they have to do what they want to do. But if you teach them right, and if you live right, y'all get me off my lesson. And Lydia's whole household was baptized. Okay, let's go back to Revelation. Go back to Revelations. Chapter 2, verse 18. Yeah, he uses the phrase, the Son of God. Then God, Christ always identifies himself. He says, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like burnished bronze, says this. He identifies Christ. He uses these metaphorical phrases. One writer put it this way. His eyes are like a flame of fire, signifying his piercing, his penetrating, his perfect knowledge, and his insight into all persons and all. It's like when God looks at it, there's no hiding. He can see right through us. He can see to our hearts. He searches the hearts and tries the reins of the children of men. God, don't nothing get by. And he writes this letter to the churches. There's no need trying to fool me. I know what's going on. And he uses this term, and his feet like burnished bronze. They're like fine brass. They're outgoing. They're steady. They are awful. They are pure. They are holy. And God judges with perfect wisdom. That he can, when he talks, he's talking from facts. And he acts with perfect strength. There are no weaknesses, perfect steadiness. He's consistent. God is not lying on nobody. And he says, I know your deeds, verse 19. I know your deeds. This is a repeated phrase as we study these seven churches. God judges with righteousness. You know, sometimes we have to figure out things. You know, sometimes we see a person in one place and we think they're one way, but that's not the real person. There's no getting by. God knows he knows the leaders and the members. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you know, I found out that you can fool people. You can fool people for a pretty long time. Now, if we keep living, a lot of times things will come out. But don't you think you're going to fool God? God says, I know your deeds. And this letter is written to the churches. And so it is a corporate, it's corporate in the fact that it's written to the overall character of the church, about the overall character of the church. I know what's going on. And he does what he does often in these letters. He commends them. In the beginning, and he tells them what they are doing good. And he says, I know your deeds and your love and your... See, if a church, one of the things that we ought to be able to identify the church by is God wants a loving church. We miss love. We missed it. And I know we're going to have a few in the church who we don't want to put out front because they may not be able to... But the church overall ought to be known as, you know, some loving people over there. Amen. Amen. We don't need to mess that up. Yeah. Even when we're feeling bad, you know, when we're feeling bad, that church is the place we want to be because you're around loving people, you're around support. You know, when you're feeling bad, don't spread that on everybody. You see, he says, I know your love and your faith. You see, faith is really, you don't really know you have faith till it's tested. You know, if you don't, the kind of faith God, see, God, when you're going through something, when there's trials going on, when the pandemic is going on, when the ice storm is going on, are you still a church that, do you still want to worship me? Can you still praise me when you're going to the hospital? And he says, I know you. I know you praying people. You got faith. You're always calling on my name. You're treating people now. You're loving. You're calling. You're talking to one another. You see, and one of the reasons why I wanted to give this lesson, see, because when I read this, I say, Lord, ooh, Lord, it just puts so much, I'm like, man, I got to do a better job. Sometimes you go around and you just don't even feel like speaking to people. You know, it's not that you don't like them. It's just that, you know, I'm tired. I don't even feel like that. You have to make yourself act right. And get out your shell. You know, how you doing? You know, God is good. It's going to be all right. You know, because we all have trials. I tell you what, let's list your trials. We'd be here all day long. Yeah, see, he said, I know your love, I know your faith. Listen to this church. I thought you talk. I know your service. You're a working church. He said, I know your perseverance. Man, boy, that's commendable. Church of Thyatira, it sounds like it's a fairly mature church, known, a working church, ministry church. Because those of you that's 51 members right now, you watching, you right now, does that sound like us? Now, I don't want to say it because I'm the preacher. See, you talking about sometimes people, what kind of preachers work? Where Gary, are you a good preacher? You know, if you want to know a good preacher, you don't ask the preacher. See, if you want to know, and I know everybody, some people going to lie on you, but you ask two or three people, all of them not going to lie. You want to know what kind of church we are, we don't need to beat our own chest. Go out in this community, Fifth Ward. Go out and ask, let's say five people that live in this community that's been here a while. Ask five people, do you know that church? Do you know where that church is on the corner of Fifth? He said, what kind of church is that? You want to get a good idea of if you are serving, if you are loving church, if you have a good reputation, ask somebody who don't go here. That'll get a good picture. Amen. Yeah, if you ask three or four people that's members here, say, what kind of preacher, Brother Gary? They say, oh, Lord, you got time? And they tell you, three of them tell you, look, Brother Gary, he late all the time. He had them sermons he got, oh, my good, to put everybody to sleep. That I need, y'all need to get a new preacher. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. He says, your perseverance. And then he makes a beautiful statement. He makes a beautiful statement. He says, and that your deeds of late, I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation, are greater than at first. Oh, that's powerful there. That is powerful. You know, because really, and see, what this is saying is that it should be our ambition as a corporate body. It should be our ambition and our earnest desire as individuals and as the church that our last works are our best works. Let me see if I can explain that a little bit clearer. See, especially for those of us that's been baptized believers for a while, because some of us, we start off on fire. We working in the ministries. We teaching in Bible class. We and in time they say, we need some brothers to do this. You hear, what you need me to do? But we get here a while and say, well, I'm going to let somebody else do that now. Yeah, look, man, look here. Some of us, be careful. Some of us, you hear this, say, I'm putting my time in. Really? Really? Can I ask you a question? Do we ever retire being a Christian? That's just threw that out there. I'm so proud. I love our seasoned saints here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Some of our seasoned saints put some of our younger members to shame. And I'm not talking about nobody, but I know some seasoned saints who don't use no excuse. They will limp up here. They can't stand up the whole time, and they will work. Now, we got some great young members. I'm just saying that it's wonderful to see our seasoned saints working actively in ministry. And I wonder what this church would be without our seasoned saints. And so we're a church. This really to me it kind of sounds like Fifth Ward when I'm reading this. But see, because we're known, we've done some great works in the past. I mean, we've done some great, wonderful things that many churches haven't even done. I won't talk about them all, but you know, that's really in the past. And so what are we doing now? What are we doing now? And so I hope we're not tired. I hope we're not worn. When we get worn out, just, you know, rest and get out the way. If you can't, we don't want to work. Let somebody else do it. Or support somebody. Don't rest on our last accomplishment. That's what I get out of that. Revelation 2:20. We're going to get to the end of this. But then he says, but I have this against you. Okay. Remember who this is. It's God. Remember this for the church, but remember it for our individual lives. Because most of us got something we need to be working on. And sometimes what we'll do is we thrive on our strengths. Oh, yeah. And sometimes our strengths will give us an excuse not to do what we know is right. I'm here every Sunday. That's good. I work around the table. That's good. I'm teaching Bible class. You know, that's good. That's good. He said, I got something against you, though. And what you got against the church at Thyatira, Lord, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Well, we've heard this before, even one of the other churches we were talking about. You remember last week when we were studying about Pergamon and they some of the members upheld the doctrine of Balaam. It's idolatry. Listen, God is a jealous God. You know, the first commandment is to love God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your might. God is your God. What is idolatry, Regier? It's anything that we will place our allegiance to before we place our allegiance to God that takes takes our energy, our efforts, and we hold this thing in high esteem. God despises that. And he uses this term. He uses it, and you know the word, well, some of you may know, in 2 Kings and 1 Kings, Jezebel was the most evil, she was queen, wife to Ahab, and she also served Balaam, idolatry, all kinds of wild living she supported. And even many scholars, some would say this is an evil woman, but many of them would say that they withstood the doctrine of Jezebel. Is this teaching that you can eat things sacrificed to idols and commit all kinds of sexual immorality? Notice this. It says it was teaching. She was a prophetess. It was something that they were allowing someone to teach as doctrine. You remember when Jesus said in Matthew 15, he says, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. See, it's one thing, you know, you might be confused, you might be thinking something in your mind, and you just struggling with something. But it's another thing for the church to allow somebody to come in and lead members astray. with this vulgar, listen now, this was some vulgar doctrine. And God said, I got this against you. You know, you good. You doing great works and you persevere. You love me. But how are you going to allow this doctrine to be taught to members and lead them astray? Listen, this doctrine, this is the kind of effect that it had. They were teaching and people were not just listening to it. They were doing it. Yeah, they were doing it. And sometimes, you know, that's why as shepherds of the church, as elders of the church, elders are to be the most humble men, loving and watching the flock. But they can't be passive when it comes to false, illicit doctrine. Amen. They can't just let that go and say, well, you know, we going to let it work itself. I know you need, somebody need to do something. Mm-hmm. I was looking at this. I'm like, goodness gracious, what was this woman, what were they doing? And I know you don't want to hear it. But the church had got loose in their living. Some members did. Listen to what else it said. I gave her time to repent. And she does not want to repent. Notice this. Of her sexual immorality. See, Lord. And that's why I'm glad we serve God. Because God is patient. Has God been patient with you? He's been patient with me. And so God says, I gave her time to repent. Repent means to turn from. That's what it means. You see, and so the doctrine kept being taught in the church, and don't act like we don't know what. Notice, don't act like we don't know what sexual immorality is. See, these are kind of the topics. That's why you know you pray for me. I pray for strength for me. These are kind of topics that we don't talk about a lot because they happen. You know, it happened, but we don't talk about it like we don't know. You know, and so, and that's part of the problem. See. If we don't uphold holiness and faithfulness in the church, where are we going to get it from? You're certainly not going to get it on television. It's hard to watch TV with your children. It's harder to watch it with your grandchildren. I'm talking about even some cartoons. Yep. Watching TV. Watching TV with my grandchildren. Something come on, I'm like, what? My grandboy. Big Daddy, what's that? I can't pretend to sound, my son. I don't even want to explain it to him. And so God said, I got this against you that you letting this go on in the church is being taught. Let me do this. This is not in my notes. I think I got it on my. Turn to Leviticus chapter. I'm just going to read this and you take it where I'm going to read this. Leviticus chapter. Let's see. I think it's chapter 18. Let me read verse 20 through 24. Let me just read this. Leviticus chapter 18. Verses 20 through 24. And you shall not have sexual intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled by her. That's what God told the Israelites when he was laying down the law to them. He said, don't sleep with your neighbor's wife. But again, that's in the Old Testament. That goes for now, too. I don't have time to even explain it all. He said, now, why are you talking about that? Because you haven't heard it in a while. You haven't heard it in a while. And every now and then you need to hear from God. The church ought to be a place that we can come and not worry about nobody hitting on my wife. Or my husband. You're going to get hurt by doing that anyway. By somebody. Not Brother Gary. I'm not going to hurt nobody. I don't think. Listen to verse 22. Listen to verse 22. You shall not sleep with a male as one who sleeps with a female. What that means? You know what that means. Listen, verse 23. Also, you shall not have sexual intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. And then listen to verse 24. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these things the nations which I am driving out from you have become defiled. That's what the word of God says. And so when you get to the book of Revelation, when the Holy Spirit was writing this to the church at Thyatira, he says, look, now you're doing good. You love me. You're doing great works. You say, but don't let your evil be good. Don't let your good be evil spoken of, because you need to. This is wrong. And I'm holding this against you, and I'm giving you time to repent. And then he goes on to say, listen to verse 23. He says, unless you repent of your deeds, he says, behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds, and I will kill her children with plague, and all the church, listen to this, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. God said, I'm not going to let this just go if you keep on doing it. There will be a price to pay. And then he goes on as I get ready to close. It's like, whoo, Lord. This is beautiful. It's beautiful in the fact that God, he's teaching us. This is his parenting skills. He commends us. He admonishes us. He tells us what we're doing good. But you know, when you love somebody, you got to tell them the truth. He said, but look, this can't keep going on. He said, this was going to happen if it keeps going on. And then he comes back in verse 24. He says, but I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching. And so we don't want to put everybody in the same boat, even in the Lord's church. Everybody not doing this foolishness. And that's the way, it's that way today. But you know, the scripture also says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And one person doing something bad can get a whole church a bad reputation. You know that can happen. But those that are upholding the teaching, those that say, Brother Gary, teach the truth. Teach the Bible. That's what we need, the truth. I want my children to hear this, because see, they're not getting this contrast nowhere else. That's why so many people are confused. They're getting is full of foolishness. And then you know what they say? It must be all right. Nobody's not saying that it's not all right. And see, God gave us all these. Listen, most of us are struggling with something. And if we make it to heaven, we're going to still be struggling with something. But don't just give yourself over to the devil with no struggle at all. Hey, we all struggling with something. But I'm not going to just lay down and say, devil, you can just have me. I didn't try, and I'm through with it, and he got me. Oh, the mercy. Don't do that. He says, who've not known... I don't have time to go into all of this. He says, who do not hold his teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan. These are the terms that people use to describe some of this stuff. They'll act like Gary, you don't understand. See, this is sexual expression. It's a sexual expression. Your body and your body parts, and you know, you have all these desires. Who you think? And they act like they're talking philosophy. He says, and God says, don't you get that these are the deep things of Satan. That's what they are. Their doctrines, their depths, their mysteries. People profess them as mysteries. Glorifying. How are you going to glorify pornography? It's art, Brother Gary. Okay. You don't want your daughter doing that, do you? Or your son? It's not art when your son is doing it. Don't. He says, verse 25, nevertheless, what you have, hold firmly until I come. The one who overcomes, we talked about this last week, the one who overcomes and the one who keeps my deeds until the end, I will give him authority over the nations. I don't have time to cover all of this. See, he says, let me read 1 Corinthians 6, 2, and I got to stop. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to form the smallest? Of course, he was writing to them about some other things. Or do you not know that we, the saints, will judge angels? There is power that yet to be given to the saints of God if we, when we overcome. Amen, somebody? Amen. To the church of Thyatira. You done well. You love me. You have faith. You have great works. You've persevered. Don't lose it. Don't give it up. Hold on to the end. Amen and amen. Until next week, if you're watching until next time, if you're watching today, and I'm hoping as individuals that this study will lead those who are not in the body, in the church, because these promises only go to those who are members of Christ's church. You see, he writes the letter to the church to be read to the members. If you're not a member of the church, you don't have access to the benefits. You need to be in the church. You need to be in the right church. It makes a difference what church you are a member of. Amen. Notice this. Let me just say this to those of you that's Church of Christ members. It makes a difference what Church of Christ you are a member of. Because one thing we do not want to happen is for God to remove his candlestick out of this church. And so I'm going to try to do my best to teach what God says, Lord have mercy. If I fall, pray for me. If I mess up, admonish me. But if you want to be a member of the Lord's church, you got to do it God's way. You come by faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a reward of those who diligently seek him. You got to change your mind about sin. You can't just, you know, you might not be perfect, but your mind is, I don't want to turn him from sin. Because if you don't repent, the Bible says you're going to perish. You must be willing to confess the sweetest name that you could ever say with your mouth. That is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father, which is in heaven. You must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And when you do that, God adds you to his church. The church of God, the church of the living God, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, the body of Christ. Those are the names that identify God's church. No other names. And we read already in Revelation 2:10, the latter part of that verse says, you be faithful unto death. It's a lifelong commitment. So if you just want a part-time commitment to me, you might not want to do this. But if you want, it's a lifetime commitment till we die. And if you want to be baptized, don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. If you have a prayer request, you type it in. We'll pray for you. One of the elders will pray for you at the end if you have a prayer request. We have a lot of sickness and members that are hurting right now. Let's keep studying. Remember, try to remember all of these cities, the church that God wrote to, the seven churches. Memorize. We can have a memorization party at the end of the seventh lesson we get to. May God keep you. May God bless you. Come to Jesus as we sing. It's our prayer.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace, this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?